Welcome to a new deep dive from the podcast AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman, a senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. If you're finding these explorations into the world of artificial intelligence valuable, please do take a moment to like and subscribe to the podcast on Apple. It really helps. Today, we're tackling, well, quite a fascinating batch of recent AI news. It covers everything from high-stakes legal battles to groundbreaking new technologies and, yeah, some surprising real-world applications.
Quite a week in AI, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, looking through the articles you shared, all from April 7th to 13th, 2025, It just paints this picture of a field moving at, well, warp speed.
It really does. Feels like every day there's something new that could just shift the entire landscape.
Okay.
Exactly. So our mission with this deep dive, as always, is to cut through the noise, you know, extract the most important insights for you. We help you understand the key trends, potential ripple effects, and maybe uncover a few of those aha moments hidden in all this info.
That's good. Where should we start?
Okay, let's dive right in. It looks like the legal showdown between former OpenAI staff, who are, interestingly, backed by Elon Musk, and OpenAI itself. Well, it's really heating up over that whole for-profit transition.
Yeah, that's a big one. What's really the heart of this legal battle is a pretty fundamental question about the purpose of these leading AI labs, right? Mm-hmm. These former employees are arguing that OpenAI's shift to a for-profit model basically betrays its original commitment.
The whole develop AI for the benefit of humanity mission.
Precisely. Not just for financial gain. And it raises this crucial point. Can the pursuit of profit, especially at this scale, truly coexist with those lofty ideals of creating AI for the greater good?
Yeah.
I mean, this case could set a major precedent for the entire industry.
It's that classic tension, isn't it? Mission versus money. The article even suggests that the original nonprofit structure was actually used to attract talent. So their worry now is that the bottom line might start influencing critical decisions, particularly around AI safety.
And OpenAI is, well, vigorously defending its position, as you expect. They argued that the for-profit structure was absolutely essential to secure that massive $40 billion investment. I mean, that's a truly staggering amount of capital.
You need that kind of money for this level of research, presumably.
That's the argument. It fuels the kind of cutting-edge AI research they're doing.
Yeah.
They also insist that the nonprofit arm isn't going anywhere, that it will not only continue to exist, but will actually benefit from this financial influx, allowing it to pursue its original mission with, theoretically, greater resources.
It's a high-stakes argument on both sides, then. The ex-staffers fear safety gets compromised for shareholder interests, while OpenAI claims this is the best way to build, what was it, the best-equipped nonprofit the world has ever seen. That's a pretty bold vision.
It is, and it forces us all to consider. As AI gets increasingly powerful, more influential, how do we ensure ethical considerations stay central, even when these immense commercial pressures are building? This legal fight could be a defining moment in shaping that balance.
And adding another layer to this whole complex situation, OpenAI has now countersued Elon Musk himself. It sounds like the legal gloves are completely off now.
Indeed. OpenAI's countersuit alleges unfair competition, even accuses Musk of actively trying to interfere with their business relationships. They're even referencing a purported $97.4 billion takeover bid.
Wow. $97.4 billion. Imagine the AI landscape if that had gone through.
That would have been a seismic shift, absolutely. And what's particularly revealing, maybe even a bit eyebrow-raising, is the claim that internal emails from way back in 2017 show Musk himself was advocating for a for-profit conversion.
But under his control.
Exactly, under his control. That certainly paints a different picture than his current public stance on the whole issue, doesn't it?
It really does. So we're getting this real glimpse behind the scenes, and it seems like there are very different narratives emerging. Okay, so there's a jury trial potentially in March 2026, but also maybe an expedited trial this fall.
Yeah, it looks like things could move faster.
Yeah.
It just highlights the intensity of the competition and, frankly, the personal dynamics at play among the leaders in this field. It's evolving so rapidly.
Okay, let's pivot a bit from the courtroom drama. I'm sure we'll revisit that. Let's look at the actual competition in AI development. It looks like xAI, which is Elon Musk's other AI venture, has now launched API access to its Grok 3 model. The timing certainly feels deliberate.
It does, doesn't it? xAI is clearly positioning itself as a direct rival to the big players like OpenAI and Google. They're offering two API options, Grok 3 Beta, which seems geared towards more complex enterprise stuff like data extraction and writing code.
Okay.
And then there's Grok 3 Mini Beta, which is a more streamlined, lightweight version, probably optimized for things like quantitative reasoning and likely at a lower cost point.
Right, and we have the pricing details here. Grok 3 Beta is 3 per million dollar input tokens and 15 per million dollar output tokens. But the mini beta is way cheaper, $0.30 and 50 cents respectively. That's quite a difference. Now, just quickly, for listeners maybe not super familiar, what exactly are tokens in this context?
Yeah, good question. Think of tokens as roughly pieces of words. Could be a whole word, could be part of a word. When you use these AI models, the input you give your questions, instructions, and the output the AI generates, it's all broken down into these tokens.
Okay, so the pricing reflects the amount of text going in and coming out?
Exactly. It essentially reflects the volume of text you're processing. This tiered pricing lets xAI try and attract a broader range of users, from big companies with really demanding needs to maybe smaller developers who need something more budget-friendly.
That makes sense. Catering to different scales of use. Okay, meanwhile, OpenAI isn't just sitting back. We're hearing about their upcoming launch of GPT 4.1. That's another major iteration, coming pretty quickly after GPT 4.0, actually.
It is. And what's particularly exciting about GPT 4.1, or at least the promise of it, is these enhanced multimodal capabilities. It's expected to handle audio, vision, and text all in real time. That would be a significant leap, towards AI that interacts with the world more naturally, more integrated.
Like having a real conversation with an AI that can see what you're showing it, hear you, and respond instantly.
That's the idea. Imagine that. And it sounds like there will be smaller, more efficient versions too, GPT 4.1 Mini and Nano, along with new reasoning models called O3 and O4 Mini. It's like a whole family of new AI brains coming.
That there might be a catch.
Well, potentially. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has mentioned potential capacity challenges. This suggests we could see some delays in the launch or maybe even experience service disruption slowdowns as they try to manage the huge demand for their current models while rolling out these new, even more powerful ones.
Right. Scaling these things globally is a massive challenge.
It's a huge undertaking, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of major players, Meta is also stepping hard into the ring. They've released their Llama 4 models called Scout and Maverick, and they're making some pretty bold claims about performance.
That's right. Meta's positioning these, especially Maverick, as outperforming OpenAI's GPT 4.0 and Google's Gemini 2.0 Flash in key areas like reasoning and coding. That's a significant claim.
Definitely something the research community will be watching closely.
Oh, yeah. They'll want to validate that. It just underscores how fierce the competition is getting between these tech giants.
And Llama 4 Scout is apparently designed to be really efficient, supposedly able to run on just a single NVIDIA H100 GPU. That kind of efficiency, well, that could be a real game changer for making these powerful models more accessible, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Lowering the computational cost, the barrier to entry for running advanced AI, that's key to democratizing access and sparking innovation across more applications, more devices. And they're not stopping there. They're also working on Llama 4 Behemoth.
Behemoth. Sounds big.
Sounds massive. And the goal is ambitious. Outperform even the next generation models like GPT 4.5.
Wow. And all these Llama 4 models use something called a mixture of experts architecture or MoE. Can you break that down a bit for folks who aren't super technical? What is it? Why does it matter?
Sure. Imagine instead of one person trying to know absolutely everything, you have a team of specialists, each expert in their own field. That's kind of how MoE works in AI.
Okay.
Instead of one giant neural network processing everything, you have multiple smaller expert networks inside the larger model. For any given input, the system routes the task to only a few of these relevant experts.
Ah, so it doesn't activate the whole huge model every time.
Exactly. This makes the model much more efficient computationally. Faster processing, potentially lower running costs, hopefully without sacrificing too much overall intelligence. It's a clever way to try and get both power and efficiency.
That's a great analogy, like a focused team instead of a generalist trying to do it all. And these Llama models are already being integrated into Meta's huge platforms, WhatsApp, Messenger, Instagram Direct. That's like instant access for billions of people.
Precisely. It's a very strategic move by Meta, weaving AI right into the fabric of their social media ecosystem. It could really change how people interact on those platforms.
Now, we're also seeing interesting developments coming out of China. DeepSeek and Tsinghua University working on self-improving AI models. That sounds like a step towards maybe more autonomous AI.
What's particularly noteworthy there is their approach. They're combining different reasoning techniques to actively guide the AI models towards better alignment with human preferences. It's not just about making them smarter, it's about making them smarter in ways that are more beneficial, more aligned with what we value.
That alignment research feels incredibly important.
It's crucial. Ensuring AI evolves positively. And just rounding out this look at the competitive scene, Anthropic introduced a new subscription tier, Claude Max. Seems like all these companies are trying different ways to cater to different user needs.
Yeah, different pricing strategies emerging. Claude Max is $200 a month.
Yeah, for up to 20 times the usage limits of their pro plan. There's also a $100 option for 5 times the limits. This clearly targets those power users, right? People with really intensive AI workloads, researchers, content creators doing heavy lifting, complex analysis.
It reflects how diverse the use cases for AI are becoming.
Exactly. From casual users to these heavy-duty professionals, it also highlights the evolving economics of running these massive models. Computation cost and demand are really shaping these pricing structures.
Okay, fascinating stuff. We're going to take just a quick pause here. I wanted to tell you about a fantastic resource, especially if you're looking to deepen your understanding, not just of AI, but a whole range of crucial tech and business fields. Check out Etienne Newman's AI-powered JamGat app. It's designed to help anyone master an ACE over 50, that's 50 in-demand certifications. We're talking cloud technologies, finance, cybersecurity, healthcare, business, and a lot more. You can find all the app links conveniently right there in the show notes. Seriously, it's worth exploring if you're looking to level up your skills in today's market. All right, let's shift our focus now to another major player in the AI arena. Google. They've been incredibly busy rolling out AI advancements across, well, seemingly everything they do. Their AI video generator, VO2, is now rolling out on AI Studio. This sounds like a really powerful tool for content creators.
It is indeed. VO2 can now generate 8-second videos. Okay, not super long yet, but at a respectable 720p resolution, 24 frames per second. I can do this from relatively simple or even quite complex text prompts.
And there's pricing.
Yep. $1.35 per second of video generated. It's another step towards making this kind of AI-driven content creation more accessible, you know, for individuals and businesses.
And Google's recent Cloud Next 2025 event. Wow, it was packed with AI news. It sounds like they're significantly beefing up their AI infrastructure and their model capabilities.
Absolutely. The unveiling of Ironwood, their 7th-gen Tensor Processing Unit, or TPU, that's a major highlight. 42.5 exaflops of processing power. It's an absolutely staggering figure.
Can you put exaflops into context? It sounds huge.
It is. An exaflop is 1 quintillion. It's a billion floating point operations per second. This kind of immense computational muscle is essential for training and running these increasingly massive, sophisticated AI models. It gives Google a significant edge in handling their AI workloads.
And they've also announced enhancements to their main Gemini AI models, right? Gemini 2.5 and 2.5 Flash. Bigger context windows, lower latency.
Exactly. The context window, how much information the AI can kind of hold in its mind at once, seems to be a real battleground now. A larger window means more coherent, contextually relevant, nuanced responses because it remembers more of the conversation or document.
And lower latency just means faster responses, which is always good.
Critical for a smooth user experience, especially in real-time stuff.
Another intriguing announcement from Google was this agent-to-agent protocol, A2A. This sounds like it could be quite significant for how AI systems interact in the future.
It really could be. A2A is designed as an open standard. The idea is to allow different AI agents, even if they're made by different companies, to communicate and collaborate smoothly across various platforms. Think of it like setting up a common language, common rules for AIs to talk to each other.
So like my email AI could talk to my calendar AI, even if they're from different developers?
That's the goal. They could discover each other's capabilities, coordinate tasks together, exchange necessary info, crucially, without needing to share all the underlying private data directly. It's about fostering interoperability in this growing ecosystem of specialized AI agents.
Interesting. And the article mentioned it complements Anthropic's MCP. How do they differ?
Right. So while both aim to make AI more connected and useful, they focus slightly differently. Google's A2A is mainly about how AI agents talk directly to each other. Anthropic's Model Command Protocol, MCP, is more about setting standards for how an individual AI agent interacts with external tools and services like databases, APIs, maybe even physical devices.
Ah, okay. So A2A is agent-to-agent communication. MCP is agent-to-tool interaction, kind of complementary pieces of the puzzle.
Exactly. Building more capable, integrated AI systems. And Google already has some big names signed up as launch partners for A2A, Atlassian, ServiceNow, Workday. That suggests pretty strong industry interest.
Can you give a practical example? How might this agent collaboration work?
Sure. Think about a complex business process like onboarding a new employee. You could have one AI agent that specializes in HR paperwork, another that sets up IT access, maybe a third that schedules introductory meetings. With A2A, these different agents could communicate and coordinate automatically, guiding the new hire through the whole process seamlessly, with much less human intervention needed.
That paints a powerful picture of automated workflows. Okay, speaking of AI in the real world, Samsung is finally launching its Gemini-powered Bally Home robot. We've seen prototypes of this little rolling bot for a while now.
It's finally hitting the market. Bally is designed as a personalized AI home assistant. It can interact naturally, manage smart home devices, even project videos onto walls or surfaces. It's packed with features aimed at personalized help, fashion advice, sleep optimization, things like that.
Sounds a bit sci-fi. Autonomous movement, voice commands, plans for third-party apps. The smart home robot market seems to be properly kicking off.
It is, and integrating advanced AI like Google's Gemini is what makes these robots potentially really useful companions, not just cool gadgets.
Google also unveiled a brand new AI accelerator chip, Trillium TPU. The pace of hardware innovation here is just relentless.
It really is. Trillium is a big leap. 4.7 times the peak compute performance and, maybe more importantly, 67% better energy efficiency compared to their previous TPU V5e. They achieved this with better matrix math capabilities, faster clock speeds, doubled memory, doubled interconnect bandwidth.
All the technical goodies. And this is going into their AI hypercomputer in Google Cloud.
That's the plan. They're clearly building a very robust, cutting-edge AI infrastructure. Developing their own custom silicon like this gives them a huge advantage in performance and cost for their massive AI workloads.
Another interesting Google development, their AI mode can now answer questions specifically about images. That feels like a really natural evolution for search, doesn't it, in our very visual world?
It does. By combining Gemini's intelligence with Google Lens's visual recognition, users can upload an image and ask the AI to understand what's in it, identify objects, even grasp relationships between things in the scene. It's a much more intuitive way to interact with visual information.
And this is rolling out gradually through their labs program.
Yeah, typical strategy. Get user feedback, refine it based on real-world use before a big public launch.
Google's even bringing AI magic to that immersive Wizard of Oz's show at the Sphere in Vegas. That sounds like a spectacular use case for AI and entertainment.
It really does. They're using AI for tons of stuff there, generating stunning 3D visuals, processing voice commands, even creating real-time scenes and effects for unscripted interactions during the show. It's a fascinating blend of top-tier AI and huge-scale entertainment, really pushing the boundaries of immersive experiences.
Definitely pushing the envelope. And on a completely different note, a scientific breakthrough. Google's AI co-scientist apparently helped solve a decade-long mystery about a superbug in just 48 hours. That's incredible.
This is a truly compelling demonstration of AI's potential in science. This multi-agent system, built on Gemini 2.0, was able to generate original hypotheses. It did this through a kind of debate and refinement process among the AI agents themselves, and remarkably, without relying on traditional gradient-based training methods.
So it wasn't just crunching existing data, it was actually coming up with new ideas.
Precisely. Multiple AI agents proposed different hypotheses for the superbug's behavior. Then they critically evaluated each other's ideas, held a sort of tournament to pick the best ones, refined those further, and even had a meta-review agent overseeing it all for rigor.
Wow.
It's a fascinating example of what they call test-time compute scaling. It really highlights the growing ability of these large language models to exercise judgment and generate novel solutions in really complex scientific areas.
That's a powerful testament to AI as a tool for scientific discovery.
It truly is. The fact it not only confirmed existing findings, but also proposed new, plausible explanations in such a short time. It's quite remarkable. It suggests a big shift in how science might be done in the future.
Okay, let's shift gears now and look at AI in specific applications and tools. Canva seems to be expanding massively, adding AI image generation and a whole host of other AI features. AI is getting baked into everything creative and productive, it seems.
Absolutely. Canva is rapidly becoming this very comprehensive creative suite. They've introduced Canva Code lets users create interactive mini apps just by describing them, apparently in partnership with Anthropic. Plus new AI photo editing tools, AI insights, and chart creation in Canva Sheets.
And integrations with HubSpot, Google Analytics, making it a central hub.
Exactly. Positioning Canva as a central point for lots of business and creative workflows.
And for content creators, this ability to turn YouTube videos into high-ranking blog posts using AI tools like Notebook LM, that sounds like a huge time saver, great for repurposing content.
It's a fantastic example of using AI for efficiency and reach. The process involves transcribing the video, doing AI-assisted keyword research, prompting an LLM, like Notebook LM, to draft the post, then enhancing it. Streamlines what used to be a very manual process.
We're also seeing platforms emerge specifically to help build AI tools, like VI for AI voice assistants, lowering the barrier to entry for custom voice interfaces.
Voppy really simplifies building and deploying custom AI voice bots. You can create them from scratch or use templates, choose your underlying AI model, pick transcription services, voice options, and crucially, integrate with other tools and APIs so the voice bot can actually do things based on commands.
And Zapier, the automation platform, even published a guide on building an AI sales rep using their tools. Shows the potential for automating core business functions with readily available tech.
Yeah, that guide shows how AI can automate big chunks of the sales process, lead capture, qualification, nurturing leads with personalized messages, frees up human sales teams for more complex strategic stuff.
There's even a guide out there for building a Gemini-powered AI pitch generator using open source tools. With PDF export, that sounds incredibly useful for startups.
It allows founders to quickly generate compelling business summaries and put them into professional-looking PDF pitch decks, all powered by LLMs. Can really streamline early-stage fundraising and business development.
Okay, let's turn now to some of the perhaps less glamorous but equally important aspects, the ethical and practical considerations highlighted in recent AI news. There have been a few notable incidents.
Yes, starting with one that was, well, somewhat amusing, but also makes a serious point. Former Trump Education Secretary McMahon apparently confused AI artificial intelligence with A1 steak sauce during a public panel.
Yeah, I saw that. It got some laughs online, and A1 sauce even cleverly played along on social media. But like the article said, it really does underscore this critical need for basic tech literacy among policymakers, doesn't it?
Absolutely. People in positions of authority need a fundamental grasp of these powerful technologies to make informed decisions about regulation and societal impact. It's not just a niche tech issue anymore.
On a much more serious note, a fintech founder has been charged with fraud. Their shopping app was marketed as being AI-powered, but apparently it relied heavily on human workers in the Philippines.
This case is a stark reminder about transparency and honesty in AI claims. The app raised over $50 million. Largely based on this AI premise, but the reality was a significant misrepresentation. Now the founder faces serious charges: securities fraud, wire fraud. It shows the real consequences of deceptive marketing in AI.
It's a clear warning, right? You can't just slap AI on something and expect no one to look under the hood. It erodes trust.
Exactly. Deceptive practices damage public trust in the technology itself and in the companies developing it.
We also saw results from a study showing current AI limitations in software debugging. Even with impressive coding skills, LLMs still struggle with complex debugging.
Right. The study tested several top LLMs, including Claude 3.7 Sonnet, on a benchmark called SWE Bench Lite. Even the best one only managed to fix just under half the debugging tasks. The researchers think it's because the AI lacks training data specifically on that sequential decision-making humans use when debugging complex code.
So AI is a helpful coding assistant, identifying simple errors maybe, but human expertise is still crucial for those really tricky bugs.
Precisely. It's not yet a replacement for skilled human engineers, especially for that intricate, often iterative, debugging process.
Then there was a big survey of 4,000 AI researchers. It revealed this mix of high hopes and significant worries about AI's future impact.
Yeah, lots of optimism about breakthroughs in healthcare, education, climate science, areas where AI could be transformative, but also substantial concerns about increasing inequality, the potential for mass misinformation, and a whole range of ethical dilemmas.
And a consensus on needing better governance.
A very clear call from the experts themselves for better governance frameworks and robust safety measures to guide AI development and deployment responsibly.
The energy demand of AI is also getting more attention. Projections that AI data center energy use could quadruple by 2030, that's a staggering increase.
It certainly highlights AI's growing environmental footprint. As models get bigger, deployment scales up. The energy required is becoming a major challenge. We need more sustainable infrastructure and more energy-efficient AI designs.
On a more positive note, ethically speaking, MIT researchers developed a new way to protect sensitive training data. That sounds crucial for privacy.
Yeah, this privacy-preserving technique could be incredibly valuable, especially for sectors like healthcare and finance dealing with sensitive info. It offers a way to use AI's power without compromising underlying data privacy, and apparently with minimal computational overhead, making it practical.
We also had that strange incident with an AI-generated lawyer reportedly angering judges in a New York courtroom. Raises questions about AI in the legal system.
The judge's reported frustration highlights real concerns about potential deception and misuse of generative AI in legal proceedings. It underscores the need for clear ethical guidelines and regulations for AI use in the justice system, ensuring accuracy, accountability, and integrity.
And it's not just law. Fake job seekers using AI to flood hiring platforms, AI resumes, cover letters, even interview bots. That must be a nightmare for recruiters.
It creates huge amounts of noise, makes it much harder for genuine candidates to get noticed, and harder for recruiters to find qualified people. It really emphasizes the need for better fraud detection and maybe new ways to verify candidates in this AI era.
Meta also faced accusations of gaming AI benchmarks with Llama 4 Maverick. That kind of thing can really undermine trust and performance claims.
The allegation is that the benchmark version might have been optimized differently from the public release. Meta denied intentional manipulation, blaming implementation bugs, but it definitely raises broader concerns about transparency and the integrity of benchmarking in the AI industry.
Shopify's CEO made waves with a company-wide mandate for AI use and that new hiring policy. Basically, prove AI can't do the job before hiring a human. That's a strong statement.
It's a very clear AI-first strategy, integrating AI into hiring, performance reviews. It signals a massive shift in how they see AI's role in their workforce, a bold move other companies will be watching.
There were also reports, slightly strange ones, about Google allegedly paying some AI staff just to stay inactive, to stop them joining rivals. Really shows the intensity of the talent war.
Using non-competes, financial incentives, to keep top AI talent on the bench. Yeah, it highlights just how fierce the competition is for experts in this crucial field.
And somewhat controversially, the White House reportedly cited AI's energy demands to justify boosting coal production. That's bound to raise climate concerns.
It's a complex trade-off, isn't it? Balancing the immediate growing energy needs of the AI sector against long-term environmental goals is a huge challenge. That justification will likely face a lot of scrutiny.
And finally here, the End No Fakes Act is back, with support from YouTube and OpenAI, aiming to regulate deepfakes and protect voice likeness rights.
This renewed legislative push reflects growing anxiety about misuse of synthetic media, deepfakes, and the need for legal frameworks to protect people's digital identities.
Okay, let's turn to some exciting new AI features and products. One really interesting development. OpenAI is reportedly considering acquiring Jony Ive's AI device startup, IO Products. That could be a major move into hardware for them.
It is. Acquiring IO Products, co-founded by the legendary former Apple designer Jony Ive and OpenAI's Sam Altman, that could mark a big strategic shift. They're reportedly working on an AI personal device, maybe screenless. Bringing in Ive's design genius and other ex-Apple folks would be huge.
Microsoft's Copilot is also getting significant personalization upgrades, making it more intuitive, more helpful.
Yeah, new features like memory for user preferences, actions to perform web tasks, Copilot Vision using your camera in real time, pages for deep research, and AI podcast creator deep research mode, all aimed at making Copilot feel more tailored to your specific needs and workflows.
And Microsoft is embedding Copilot more deeply across its apps generally.
Right, into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, aiming to boost productivity with AI doing data analysis, content generation, task automation, right within the tools people already use.
Midjourney, the AI image generator, released version 7. Promising even more realism and coherence.
Midjourney keeps pushing the envelope in AI visuals. Version 7 reportedly improves realism significantly, handles multiple characters in a scene better, and adds new personalization features for more artist control.
NVIDIA is reporting big speed-ups for inference on Meta's Llama 4 models, making them faster in practice.
Yeah, using their TensorArt LLM software and H100 GPUs, they're getting impressive gains up to 3.4x faster inference. That kind of optimization is vital for making these advanced models practical for real-time use.
GitHub Copilot is introducing new limits and premium pricing. Reflects the value and cost of these AI coding tools, I suppose.
As AI gets more integrated into development, you see pricing models evolve to ensure sustainability. It's becoming a core tool.
And Amazon unveiled Novasonic for hyper-realistic AI conversations. That sounds like a leap in voice AI quality.
Novasonic is designed for incredibly human-like intonation, rhythm, emotional expression in AI speech. Could really change how we interact with voice assistants, making conversations feel much more natural and engaging.
Finally, let's touch on some broader global AI trends. China announced a massive $8.2 billion AI investment fund. That's a clear statement of intent.
A very significant state-backed investment. It's targeting domestic chip and robotics companies specifically, aiming to strengthen China's AI industry and cut reliance on U.S. chips. It's definitely intensifying the U.S.-China tech rivalry in AI.
The HAI Artificial Intelligence Index report for 2025 gave a big overview. What were the key takeaways there?
Several key trends. The U.S. still leads in producing top AI models, but China is closing the gap fast. AI is getting embedded more into daily life. Business investment is strong. Global optimism about AI is generally rising, though with regional variations. AI is getting more efficient, more affordable. Government regulation and investment are increasing globally. AI education is expanding. But importantly, the report notes that achieving complex reasoning in AI remains a major challenge. Industry pace is rapid, and AI's impact on science is growing.
And lastly, this AI 2027 report. Making some bold, maybe concerning forecasts about artificial superintelligence risks.
Yeah, this report outlines a very accelerated timeline. Capable agents by 2025, superhuman coding, and maybe AGI by 2027, leading potentially to ASI and major economic shifts by 2029. It presents scenarios with and without strong safety measures and strongly calls for more AI alignment research and regulation. Certainly thought-provoking, maybe alarming about the near future.
Okay, wow. Considering the sheer volume and the incredible pace of developments we've just discussed, covering just 1 week, and the wildly diverse applications being explored, what do you see as maybe the single most significant opportunity or perhaps the biggest potential challenge that AI presents in the next few years for us as individuals and for society?
That's a really big, important question. I think the most significant opportunity probably lies in AI's potential to dramatically accelerate scientific discovery and innovation, giving us new tools to tackle huge challenges, climate change, disease eradication, you name it.
And the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge, in my view, remains ensuring this incredibly powerful technology is developed and deployed responsibly, ethically, equitably, in a way that truly benefits all of humanity, while we actively work to mitigate the risks of unintended negative consequences. Getting that balance right, that's going to be absolutely crucial in the coming years.
Some truly vital points to consider as we all try to navigate this rapidly evolving landscape. A reminder to everyone listening, don't forget to check out the show notes for those direct links to Etienne Newman's AI-powered Jamgatech app. This has been a deep dive into the world of artificial intelligence. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been a deep dive from AI Unraveled.